fact, just about anything. They handcuffed him, they locked him, they stuffed him into the big milk can. He's still able to manage to get out. And some people who admire his escape act so much that they thought maybe he will escape his own death. He couldn't. More recently, another illusionist, David Blaine, and he started to do very high-profile feat. He's not just an escape artist, he's more of the illusionist, as well as he is an endurance artist, if you will. Problem is that when someday this young man will die as well, and he will not escape and come back to life. Some people are rather uncomfortable talking about their death. There are a lot of people who are just scared of the idea of death because it's a sheer fear and unknown. That's why Jainism, which is the former style of Hinduism, and the current Hinduism and Buddhism subscribe same thing, reincarnation. The word reincarnation derives from the Latin word, which literally means that entering the flesh again. The idea of reincarnation is nothing more than useless defiance to the solemn truth of the end of one's earthly life. Did you get that? It's a useless defiance. It doesn't mean anything. They can talk about reincarnation all they want. It's not going to happen. In recent decades, many Europeans and North Americans who are into spiritism, they have developed interest in reincarnation and hope that they will be able to come back to life for a better situation, a better circumstance. A lot of Hollywood movie makers and movie stars are into this reincarnation because the idea of coming back to life sounds so much more comforting and, you know, idea is appealing to them than standing in the presence of the ultimate judge and must give all of their account for what they have done, what they have spoken in their earthly life. The idea terrifies them, and it terrifies many people as well. About 10 years ago, Barna Research Group in Ventura, California, they are very famous for the surveys. And they did a survey of the American people's view about the life after death. The result was surprisingly traditional yet. However, since the lifestyle and value and the self-perception of the most adult have drastically changed from traditional Judeo-Christian view to postmodern style and the current worldview, and it's not surprising that more than 50 million people do not know what's going to happen after they die. They just don't have a clear view. Here are some statistics for you of their answers for your understanding. People ask, and they were asked, what is heaven? 46% of the people answered the state of eternal existence in God's presence. And 30% of people answered the actual place of rest and reward where the souls go after death. 14% of people said it's a symbolic, not real. 5% of people said there's no such a thing as a life after death. 5%, there's always people who said, not sure. They don't know. And they were also asked, what is the hell? 39% of people answered a state of eternal separation from God's presence. 32% of people answered actual place of torment and suffering where the people's soul goes after death. And 13% said a symbol of unknown bad outcome after death. And the 16% were not sure or they don't believe there is a hell. And they were also asked with another question. What about eternal destination? Do you think you're going to go to heaven or hell? 0.5% said that they will go to hell. They will go to hell immediately after upon their death. I thought, what did you do? Then 64% says they will go to heaven, of course. And 5% says that they will reincarnate as another life form. And 5%, yeah, we just cease to exist. Among that 64% people who said that they will go to heaven, and they were asked again, why would you go to heaven? 43% answered, because they confess their sin and accept Jesus Christ as the Savior and Lord. And 15% answered that they have tried to obey the Ten Commandments. And 15% said, because I'm a good person, basically. And the 6% said that they believe that God loves all people and will not let them perish. One of the intriguing thoughts is the finding they did is the more money you make, the higher education you have, they will less likely believe that there is a heaven or hell. It's interesting. It is no wonder why some people said PhD stands for pile high and deep, right? I want you to turn your Bible to the Romans chapter 6, please. Romans chapter 6, verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, let's find out the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ here. We believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is among the most important biblical truths. That is, it is the foundational, it is a bedrock principle of Christianity. Many other aspects of Christianity, Christian faith, depends on and rests on the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me share with this three essential Christian truths that depends on the resurrection. Number one, life beyond death depends on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I want you to turn one book from the Romans, turn to right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. For since by men came death, the first word that man is Adam, by man, now this time is Jesus, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Jesus' victory over death promised us that we, born-again Christians, will overcome death. And when we overcome death, we too have eternal life in heaven instead of eternal death in hell. Second essential truth is God's future judgment of the world rests upon the resurrection. Go to the book of Acts, please. Acts chapter 17, verse 31. Because He has appointed a day on which He will judge, that's Jesus Christ, Jesus will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. And He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. See, the promise, this promise reminds us that God will judge all unbelievers one day. To those who are born again Christians will receive a reward according to what have done. At the place as a judgment seat of Christ. Third aspect is the resurrection of Christ give us power to live a Christian life. Power to give us a Christian life. Back to Romans. 8th chapter of Romans, please. verse 11. But if the Christ of if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The resurrection, therefore, that promised us that God will not only give us the power to raise us from the dead, also give us the power to live the Christian life, the victorious Christian life on this earth. Some of you may have heard first resurrection and second resurrection, and you're wondering, what are you talking about? I thought there is only one resurrection. No, there are two types of resurrection. Actually, if you want to be precise, there are three. First is a Jesus Christ resurrection. And then human resurrection, there's a one group first and the second group. Let's take a look at the first group. Because our Lord Jesus' resurrection, we who are born again Christian, including those who have passed away, will have a resurrection of our own. By now, some of you are wondering, I thought when Christian died, born again Christian died, their soul will go to heaven with Jesus immediately. Yes, thousand times yes. However, their body is still scattered around. If you bury, let's say, there's a guy named Charlie who is a born, we always pick him Charlie, right? Charlie is dead. He's a born again believer. He's a devout believer. So we had a nice funeral, and we buried him next door, Green Valley Mortuary. If today is the rapture day, guess what? His body will rise up. Their soul will meet their body in heaven on that day. So I want you to turn your Bible to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. This is the first resurrection. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of archangels, with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ, that means born again Christian who passed away, will rise first. Then we who are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And thus you shall always be with the Lord. How would you like to be the grave digger? You are not a believer, but you are at the Green Valley Mortuary on that day. All of a sudden, all these born-again believers' bodies coming out from the grave. I bet you will break all Olympic running record. That is the first resurrection. What about second resurrection? That last book. Book of Revelation, chapter 20, please. Chapter 20, verse 11, please. Verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne. Note that word. The great white throne. And Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. Them is the unbelievers. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and the death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then the death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. See, this is the second resurrection of all unbelievers in history. From Cain, remember Cain and Abel? The first son of Adam and Eve. The Cain killed his brother Abel. From him all the way down to the last human being who chose not to believe Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they will be judged. And they will be raised up and stand before God and His white throne judgment. Heaven and earth will fly away from them, and there is no place for these people to hide. All must face the judge, the ultimate judge. See, the judge is Jesus Christ. God the Father has committed all judgment to Him. Now all the unbelievers must be judged by Him to whom they rejected while they were alive and faced eternal death. This great white throne judgment will be nothing like a modern-day court cases. At the great white throne judgment, and there will be a judge, no jury, prosecution, no defense lawyer, a sentence, but no appeal, a fact, no technicality, or no loopholes. No one will be able to defend oneself or accuse God of unrighteousness. Listen to me, please. Hell is the witness to the righteousness and holiness of God to judge people's sin. And hell is also, in fact, is a witness man's responsibility. The fact that he is not a robot or helpless victim, but the one who is a creature with a choice in his heart and her heart. God does not send anyone to hell because he is a twisted mind, a person, or deity. Or he's not a psychotic person that just he enjoyed people's pain. Unbelievers send themselves to hell by rejecting Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to go to another verse in John chapter 3, verse 18. Some of you might be very uncomfortable by now. That's good. That means God is speaking to you. John chapter 3, verse 18. He who believes in Him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. The light is Jesus Christ. And men love the darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Is that clear enough for you? Luke chapter 23, please. Luke chapter 23, verse 40. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." This is a thief on the cross speaking to another thief. Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." You see, when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was dragged to the high priest's home. And he went through six kangaroo court. Would you put the next picture, please? Thank you. And he was charged with a false charge. No evidence. They concoct the evidence. They didn't have a witness, though, so they concoct the witness. And then they tortured him without a charge, without a sentence. And then they took him to the Golgotha, Calvary Hill. There were three crosses on the Calvary Hills where Jesus died. On one was a man dying in sin. He did not accept Jesus Christ. On another one, a man dying to sin. He trusted Jesus as his Savior and Lord. In the middle cross, one dying for other people's sin. He was God's Son and had no sin of his own. The sin of Christ made all the difference for those two men hanging beside Jesus. the difference between eternal hell and eternal heaven. You see, the whole world is represented by these two people. One choose to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. The other one reject Jesus Christ on the spot. And you may say, well, you see, I'm not a bad person. I know God is there. I know Jesus is Son of God, is the Messiah. Then I would ask, is He your Messiah? Is He your Savior? If the answer is no, you cannot escape your death. Not just physical death, you will have that spiritual death, the eternal death. Actually, let me rephrase the proper way. You will be dying death. Have you heard the word dying death? You cannot die and end of it. It's a continuously being tormented. It's a dying, but you cannot really die. It's an utter separation from God, utter separation from everyone. Some of you might think that because you heard it from somebody, when I go to hell, I will have a brewski party with my buddies. You ain't going to have a brewski party. First of all, you ain't going to have a Coors or the Budweiser there. And you ain't going to have your buddies because you will be utterly isolated from everyone. Hell is not hell because you have nothing what you want. Hell is hell because you are separated from God. Don't ever think that you will go to heaven because you are a good person. And you may say, well, preacher, you don't know what I have done. That's right, I don't know what you have done, and I don't need to know what you have done. But Jesus knows, and He still loves you. If you are the only person of mankind who need to be saved, He would have died for you. He loves you, and He hears your prayer. If you say, Jesus, come into my heart, receive me as your own. Please don't think that you can make your way to heaven. Folks, it is invitation only. Have you ever heard a party that it's invitation only? You cannot just walk in and say, hey, here I am. And they say, no, you're not. How the invitation is given? Everybody is invited, but you have to accept that invitation. Even though you are all invited, some people will say, no, I don't need that invitation. I can be there in the party. And there will be somebody at the gate who said no. And you will face great white throne judgment by your own choice. Do you know anyone who loved you so much that died for you? Jesus did. You don't have anyone who would do that kind of thing for you. God loves you and He has a great plan for you. Don't reject His invitation now for your eternal life. Jesus declared, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man come unto the Father but through me. You know that means there is no absolute other ways. There's no plan B. Only one way. It's like there is a gigantic chasm between earth and heaven. And God made a bridge. That is Jesus Christ. This is the only one way you get to heaven. No other way. And you try to make your way with your whatever the effort you try. It's not working. Bible also says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that He is risen from the dead, then you will be saved. It's a simple thing. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be such a great person, and you don't have to bring that valuable thing to be saved. You don't have to knock on somebody's door. Just simply say, Jesus, come into my heart as my Savior and my Lord. As simple as that. Why are you rejecting Him? You know, I'm going to say bluntly, I don't beat around bush anyway. There's 2 days in the whole year people come to church. Easter and Christmas. And you may, our regular people will say, why are you talking about this salvation message on Easter? Well, I have your ears, so might as well talk about it, because I may not never see you until Christmas. Folks, don't let this day pass without Jesus Christ in your heart. Don't fight against Him. If you die right now and you are not absolutely sure that you're going to go to heaven according to God's way, what I said is not what J.K. said, what this Bible says. This book has been proven itself over and over and over. Only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. You decide. And you cannot say that on that day, the judgment day, great white throne judgment day, I never heard the gospel. And God will remind you, remember that broken English speaking guy? That Swedish guy? Yeah? He told you. You have to make up your mind. And then if you reject Him, you walk out the door, next time it will be easier for you to reject Him. And your heart will be callous, worse and worse.